Welcome back to the University Radio Bath's coverage of the 2024 Student Union Officer elections. So we're joined right now by Peter Irvine, who is standing to be the next SU president. So Peter, tell the listeners a little bit more about yourself.
So I'm a final year politics and international relations student. I'm head of student media, so it's nice to be in a kind of place I'm used to. And I'm also chair of SU Summit this year, which is the kind of Students' Union's Council of Representatives. I've always been involved with the SU, and I think I've got a lot more left to give. And I suppose during time, this is my fourth year at uni now. I've seen things, how things have developed from COVID, out of COVID, to back to almost the glory days of things for societies and students. But of course, there's still a lot of issues I want to tackle. So a lot of what I'm kind of running on this year is heavy on infrastructure, society and cost of campus based issues.
Brilliant. Yeah. Tell us a little bit more about those policies.
Yeah, so infrastructure wise, I mean, there's always a lot of problems going on campus. I remember back to Freshers Week this year, especially when there was maintenance going on in Norwood and things like that, are never really addressed so quickly or quickly enough for students to come and be prepared and ready for. And it's interesting, as my role as chair of Summit this year, where we have students representing different areas in the uni, they bring forth standpoints and propose standpoints that we can put through the SU. And so one of them we had recently was about maintenance. So for example, how maintenance should be tackled. Sometimes it's sort of quicker in the city, sometimes it's not. But again, it's a case of a lot of issues, little smaller issues coming up and making a wider problem. So again, places like The Edge, for example, there's a cafe there that's been there for ages. It hasn't been open formally for years. Something I'd want to do is push the SU to reopen that cafe, because there's hundreds of students, probably thousands, in The Edge every day, in and out. That's an ideal space to put cafe, a working cafe at least. It's already there. There's not even a vending machine in The Edge. And I know this from lots of conversations I've had with students who spend a lot of time there. They have to end up going to Lime Tree, and then that brings in a whole other part of my manifesto, which is cutting the cost of campus. I don't know if we're aware, Lime Tree is quite expensive for a lot of things, and they used to have all these nice pasta deals, so they still got pasta today, for example, but it's very much selective now on what they have at the time, where you used to be able to select before what was available. Pizza's now expensive. I remember pizzas used to be cheap in my first year, it was fantastic, but now they're at least sort of £7.50, £8, and it's... Sorry, go on.
And you mentioned your chair of the summit. Do you feel like you're in quite a good position to, say, come in straight away and be able to make that change? Because you know how it sort of worked with liaising with the university and being in dialogue with them.
Yeah, so summit's an interesting one. So it's more closed off from the uni, if anything. Something we're kind of working on at the moment is potentially a proposal to reformat it to allow more university staff to come in and see what we're talking about. But again, it's very SU side. But I think that's its advantage as well, because we have representatives from different execs or activity, sport, media, for example, hall reps, academic reps, faculty reps, postgraduate reps. And then we have the officers as well, the current officers, the SU officers come and talk about the issues. And I suppose we have a lot of societal reps as well, represent different areas, for example. So, yeah, I feel like I'm in a good position to understand the issues on campus at the moment. But again, Summit is still a very specific funnel for issues, and it's not really tapping into the wider, more broader issues on campus that the average student might not necessarily be shouting about.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so in terms of your competition, you're up against Dinos and Gigi, and both of them are international students. Do you feel like, because you're a British student, UK student, you can provide a slightly different perspective to what they might as SU presidents?
So I suppose I knew that was coming up. There's a play already that we talk very much about being an international university, and so there's already a case that I might be at a disadvantage because I might not be appealing to a certain crowd. But I think if anything, it's the case that I can be a bit more centrist and say let's get everyone together in the same place. And the big part of my manifesto is actually highlighting international communities, because I think there's a lot more we can be doing to get like cultural norms and music exposure and so forth out there. We learned a lot of lessons during Freshers Week, for example, when we had an international night, which has sadly flopped. We didn't really get a lot of attention for that. And I think that's really sad because, I mean, we should be getting a lot of people going to that, considering the international community we have at this uni. So one thing I've especially done in my manifesto is I'd push for international music exposure to increase via University Radio Bath, of course, and the SU and societies more into play with events in the city, so we can have a bit more of the aspect of a cultural university that extends into the city, because I think there's a lot of untapped potential. And that's something I've done this year with my housemate Charles. We have a show on URB where we play a mixture of kind of Afro Caribbean music and stuff like that. It's just the case of we need more exposure to it, and that's just one aspect of the international community. There's a lot of interplay as well with actual events that the international community would put on, or even just cultural societies as a whole, because a lot of cultural societies will start talking about their events coming up, but I don't think they get crazy exposure. Some of them are better than others. For example, on the 1st of March, which is in 2 days' time, that's St. David's Day in Wales. So Wellstock, for example, will do a little beast on that, but unless the SU is really shouting about it, not many people will know about it.
And in terms of what the current committee has done this year, what do you feel like could have been improved on? What could have been changed in your eyes?
With the current officer committee or just specific to...
Current officer committee and, in terms of the president specifically as well.
So, I've had an interesting relationship with them this year. I mean, I've followed most of their work throughout kind of what they've been doing. And, of course, I was chair of DPT last year, so I congratulate them as they came on. So I had good high hopes and ambitions for them. I think a lot of what they've done this year... is really good. They've worked their way nicely through the top 10, the list of SU top 10 initiatives. So I think they've been very much on the ground, but I think it's still tackling a much wider long-term issue that is the case that every officer every year has a certain set of ambitions. And sometimes they'll aim too high and not be realistic or grounded enough. And I suppose coming out of COVID, the officers have done a very good job this year of pretty much establishing what the normal year for universities are, because it was the officer team before the current one where they were just on the tail end of things and they had to figure out and navigate everything. But I think they've done a good job across everything, and I think Gigi Jimena, the current SU president, she's done a very good job as well, considering everything that's been going on. It's been a pretty wild year.
Yeah, and there always seems to be debate at the university about transport up the hill. So, I mean, a lot of the candidates have been talking about buses, sustainability, there've been bike lifts mentioned. Do you have anything specific over that you'd like to propose?
Well, I'm not going to propose any new mode of transport as such. I think, why are we not optimising what we currently have? I think there's a lot of work that needs to be done. We can't just disregard an option or try and invite something new in. I remember Alex Robinson, who was the president before Gigi, he was talking a while about getting like a ski lift style thing up the side of Bathwick. This was an actual plan in development at some point, but that didn't obviously go far. I mean, it was a lot of money into that. I think the buses, we need to work. There's been buses here for decades. Why we still in 2024 don't have them working to an optimal level, I don't know. I think we were looking at the ticket costs early and the variety of tickets available and the affordability. I think it's a bit of a minefield, to be honest with you. There's so many options out there. I don't know why the SU or the university don't at the start of the year almost give a kind of clear picture and say this is going to be the cheapest option for you in depending on where you live and give you all the options there. Otherwise, you're just fresh in and you have to navigate the first bus app. So I think step one really is kind of getting to grips with consumer needs, really figuring out where we're going with first bus, figure out what we want to do with them. So I think the best option is to optimise what we have at the moment. I think, cycling schemes, for example, work quite well. And of course, you've got the e-scooters now. I don't know the specific stats and the uptake on those, but I suspect they're not incredibly high, because I think there's a black zone, or there was indeed down Bathwick Hill, where you can't fully go up on an e-scooter. I remember that was the Voy systems, but now we've got Tier. I don't necessarily know if it's the same with them. But I think while we've got the buses, there's an enormous fleet of buses from First Bus operating in Bath. I'd want to go to their depot, have a look around, have a chat with them, find out exactly what these buses are, what the capacities are, for example, because sometimes you'll see them go past you without being full at all, and it's a huge frustration. I mean, this happened the other day to me down there. One bus went past, the guy waved that there was one coming, and it took another few minutes or so, but that might not seem like a lot, but to some students who have to reach certain deadlines in terms of arriving on time, that matters.
And we've spoken about affordability in the sense of food on campus and the options that are there for students. What about affordability in terms of the buses? Would you try and get into dialogue with them about their prices?
I think you'd have to. I mean, I absolutely want to talk to them and just figure out why things were raised. I know they spoke about their costs. Everyone's costs went up over the last year. Cost of living has as well, though. And I don't think a company, First Bus and First Group, for example, are making a lot of money. I don't think they can really look at us and say, your students, you'll figure it out. I don't think that's the right approach. Because I remember, for example, that the two-trip tickets were £2.70 last year, now £3.20. I mean, that's a 50 pence rise. Whereas the adult tickets, for example, the two-trip went from £3.50 to £3.80, which is obviously not so much as 50 pence. I don't know why that's the grounding for that example. To be honest with you, I just think students, I mean, we can't always go on about being the poor little students with their money. But in the case of the cost of living now, I don't think these companies are really accommodating students on that matter. I think there's a really complicated system with the amount of tickets available and the prices. Like I said earlier, I think the SU and the uni should really be a point of clarity on this. That students, when they come here, they can say, okay, do I need a year ticket, semester ticket, or term ticket? What's all the difference with this? I mean, obviously they can work it out themselves, but it doesn't really help some students. If it was signposted, that would be amazing.
And by the time this is released, it will be election time. The polls will be open. So Peter, as a final leaving note, just tell us how your campaign preparations are going.
Oh, they're going quite well. I've got my team established now. I've got a fun little, it's a little compact team, but I think we're going to make a huge impact. And I'm just looking forward to getting out there on the parade and starting the visual and the promotional aspects of the campaign online as well.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much for coming on, Peter. Best of luck with your campaign. And remember to head over to the SU website to vote.